Grace, greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 25th of October. It's the Lord's Day, as the early church called it, that day after Jewish Sabbath, the day when they would often gather together, though, and I just for your own information, it wasn't the only day they met. You don't have to only meet on Sunday. You don't have to meet on Sunday. Get with someone, somewhere, somehow, sometime. Iron strengthens iron. Build community. It's part of what we are as a body of Christ. We're not solo artists. We're part of community. I'm excited that in North Georgia today, we have our Sunday night community. We meet once a month on Sunday evening, and we meet every week on Tuesday night. But this is a fun one as we get to kind of go in a little different direction on Sunday. So I'm pretty excited. And of course, we will air the video audio from this Grace Encounter tonight for you in the coming weeks. I'll tell you about that as we proceed into the month of November. We are progressing rapidly towards the month of November. And we have added a date in early December. I'll give you the November date because I'm not completely locked in on the North Georgia date yet. But we are going to Decatur, Alabama on the first weekend of December to Pastor Barry Simsrott's church at Grace River. We normally are at Grace River in September, sometimes August, but COVID pushed things back, and so we've booked this for the first weekend of December. And we're also hoping to get with our friends in Chapin, South Carolina before the end of the year as well. We'll tell you about those dates, and you can check our website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. I want to share with you today the source text for one of my favorite New Testament verses. As we've been working through the book of Psalms, Old Testament stories through a New Covenant lens, and as we look at this Old Testament passage that corresponds with a rather obscure verse from the New Testament, we'll also look at it couched in its context, why it was written by whom, and what we can take from that context. The obscure New Testament verse that I'm talking about is from the first epistle from Peter, 3rd chapter, 10th verse, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil." I did not, and I've said this before, in fact, I just said it in a message we aired. I think it's the message that we aired today, which was on all of our platforms, a sermon titled, That I May Attain the Resurrection. Early in that message, I talk about the fact that I did not know that 1 Peter 3:10 was even in the Bible for a long time, because it theologically, it rubbed opposite of what I thought you were supposed to do. Peter says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil." That indicates that a man can love life and see good days. Well, I knew you could see good days. I mean, we've all had a good day or two. But I didn't know it was a biblical promise that we could love life. I would have told you that loving life was probably akin to someone. I didn't mean you walked around wanting to die all the time, but there was just this fine tension of don't fall in love with this place. And I still agree that we're not to fall in love with it to the point that we make it our source. But this idea that we're somehow supposed to be miserable because we're Christians, that doesn't line up with favor. Anyway, enough of that history. Once that revelation began to permeate my heart, hey, you can love life and see good days. Then you got to run off and find out, you notice that it's a quote, and you want to run off and find the source of it. The source of it is Psalms 34. And Psalms 34 is a psalm of David, but it's a specific timing in the life of David. If you want to jot this down or go read this, look at 1 Samuel chapter 21. And in that story, David is pretending madness. And I'm not going to get into the whole background of that, but he slobbers on his own beard and he makes it appear as if he's mad, and they send him away. It was really the only thing he could do for safety's sake. He's been on the run from Saul, and he finds himself too often in the camps of the Philistines. And so it's sort of a, this guy's nuts, just leave him alone moment, and he's faking it. But there's a long, drawn-out travels between Saul and David in the book of 1 Samuel. So at some point in that, David writes the 34th Psalm. He's a songwriter. he expresses himself through song. And once you read the 1 Samuel 21 story, then flip over to Psalms 34 in your Bible and read the Psalm of David, some of your subtitles under verse 34's heading will tell you that this is the Psalm of David when he pretended madness in front of Abimelech. But the title of the Psalm is The Happiness of Those Who Trust in God. So here's a guy who is on the run, who is faking madness, and yet in his spirit, he has a solid base of who he is. And he asks a question that gets reinterpreted by Peter as a statement. Because Peter says, for he who would love life and see good days, refrain his tongue from speaking evil. But David asks it, Psalms 34, 12, who is the man who desires life and loves many days? The word many is added. I don't think it's a good addition. And loves days that he may see good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So when you read it, I think the reason it doesn't pop in the Psalms is because it comes across as, come children, listen to me. I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. Who desires life, loves days that he may see good? It's almost like he's saying, listen, fearing God, you don't get the love life, and sometimes you don't get good days. But when you get through the lens of a new covenant, when you come at this through the angle of a guy like Peter, who betrayed the Lord and warmed his hands over the fire and then had breakfast with Jesus, who heard the rooster crow, who received the baptism of the Spirit in Acts 2 and then preaches a sermon that sees 3,000 saved, who goes into the house of Cornelius and preaches to the Italian band and watches the Holy Spirit descend on them, you have that kind of life experience. You've walked with Jesus. You've encountered the greatness of who he is. You reimagine the question from Psalm 34, who desires life and sees good days? You don't ask the question anymore. It becomes a statement for you. And every now and then, when you look at an Old Testament story and you see it through one lens, just fast forward through the cross, through the resurrection, through Pentecost, through a life full of experiences of watching God work, take it out of the scholarly realm or the intellectual realm, the theological realm, and put it into the practical day-to-day, everyday living realm and go, okay, it's no longer a question. I've seen Jesus. I've walked on the water with him. I've ate with him. I've touched him. I've been touched by him. I have the fire of his Spirit in me. Okay, there's no question. You can love life and see good days. And then 13, 14, keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Peter uses that, but he does use the next verse. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. He doesn't elaborate on it like in 1 Peter 3, like maybe I wish he would. Here's what I would say. The Amplified Version says, desire peace and go after it. Desire peace and go after it. Depart from evil and do good, desire peace and go after it. I think this is practical advice for daily living. Yes. But I think you need to put it through the new covenant. And when you put it through the new covenant, what you're going to learn is that you don't have to go chase peace in the new covenant. You walk from a place of peace in the new covenant. And let me just say, encourage you. You get to love life and see good days. What's the key? Keep your tongue from speaking evil. Stop dwelling on the negative and spreading it. When you shut down that faucet, you will tend to shut down the input, and you'll love life and see good days. Have a great day. God bless.